Lift up your voice and bless the God of your salvation. Bless the God who has brought you into his presence today. Bless the God of mercy. Bless the God of our strength. Come on, somebody, bless him and exalt him. Bless him and exalt him. Give him thanks. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Lift up your voice and thank him. Thank him because he's a good God. Thank him because he's a good God. Father, we appreciate you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Father, once again, we have come to your feet to learn at you.
Yes, Lord.
Speak your word to us, Lord, and cause light to break forth in our midst.
Amen.
Cause light to break forth in our hearts.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's be seated. Glory to God and give the Lord a big, big, big clap offering. Hallelujah. You are welcome to your year of awesome deeds.
Amen.
Can you say these words with me? 2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
Please say it with confidence.
2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
Glory to God. I'm always excited every Wednesday night like this because the Bible says that we have opportunity for an outbreak of revelation. Whenever we fast, whenever we take the time to fast, God has promised that there will be outbreak of revelation. So it is very, very important. If you have not been taking the Wednesday fast serious, take it very, very seriously. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I saw some buildings today, well, on the internet in Canada, that is over 200 years old and is functioning well. The doors are working. The windows are in place. Everything is functioning well. And you know the truth? Such houses has the right foundation. The reason such houses, after 200 years old, is still doing well is because such houses, they had the right foundation and the proper materials. And I tell you the truth, your life can be much more than that if you will build on the rock. If you will build your life on the rock, build your career on the rock, build your finance on the rock, build your family on the rock, everything that is desired for life shall be attracted to you and come upon your life in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
You know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Please, let's begin to build upon the rock, and our houses, our life, shall be established in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
On Sunday, we talked about God's agenda for these last days. We talked about God's agenda for these last days. And what we looked at on Sunday was the wealth of the saints of God. We saw it as the scripture says, God says, rule in the midst of your enemies. You cannot rule when you are not financially empowered. He said, rule in the midst of your enemies. And we know for what purpose God is going to bring wealth into the church. God is going to bring wealth into the people's hand. For the purpose of the gospel, as it is written in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17, he said, my city's true prosperity shall once again spread abroad. And Satan is against this agenda of God. That's why you need fasting and praying. We are still in this month where we are looking at the benefits of fasting. That's why you need fasting, because Satan is out to open, because he knows that when you begin to prosper and you are prospering according to God's word, he knows that that's the kingdom of God on earth prospering. So it's going to be against you. And that's why you need fasting and prayer to put him where he belongs. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, this kind does not go except by fasting and praying. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God Jesus has given us all the weapons needed to walk in our victory. And we must take those weapons. And prayer is one of those weapons. Prayer coupled with fasting is a weapon that will put the devil where he belongs and release us into the blessings of God upon our lives. It is very, very important. Listen to me, people of God. The last day's church is a church that is given to prayer and fasting. The last day's church is a church that is given to prayer and fasting. Jesus said it. Mark chapter 2. Jesus said, beginning from verse 18, they came to him and said, the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees, they are fasting. Why are your own disciples just eating and eating? And Jesus said to them, he said, I'm paraphrasing now. He said, can the bridegroom, can the friends of the bridegroom fast when they are with the bridegroom? He said, no. He said, but the days are coming. Verse 20. Beginning from verse 20 now, he said, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. They will fast in those days. And I tell you the truth, we are in the days that Jesus is talking about. You need to fast. It is very, very important. And take your fasting seriously. In Luke chapter 5, verse 33 to 35, the same thing is said there. The same thing is said there. And it's also repeated again in the book of Matthew. Please, people of God, even if nobody tells you to fast, engage your spirit and get into a fast that is accepted of God. One of these messages, we preach the acceptable fast so that you can see the taper and get into and take it so that you can, because you see, the Bible says God does not look on the outward appearance. Everybody can be commending you for being a fasting machine, but your heart, that's where God looks at. So when you are fasting, your heart is so important. Very, very important. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But today, we are looking at another agenda that will be prevalent in these last days. It will be so common in these last days. And people who will not get in this agenda, they won't even enjoy the first agenda of God. And that is a consecrated life. This is one agenda that is going to be God. It is part of God's agenda for these last days. These last days, God is expecting his people to live a holy life, strong and mighty in the word of God, holy spirit, soul, and body. And I believe God that you that is hearing me today and you that is listening to the tape, you will be part of that army. You that is listening to the message, you will be part of that army, and the glory of God shall rest upon your life.
Amen.
Amen. Prayer and fasting is one of the spiritual forces needed to live a consecrated life. Prayer and fasting is necessary for you to live a holy life. This is because the forces of iniquity are equally spiritual. What you are fighting against, they are spiritual. So you need a spiritual backup. A spiritual help to overcome. Very, very important. Very, very important. I tell you the truth. Let's consider the incidents recorded in Zechariah chapter 3 concerning Joshua the high priest, beginning from verse 1, Zechariah chapter 3, the Bible says, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." Take note of that word. "And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan." Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. "Is not this a brand plucked out of fire?" Now take note of this. "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel." So you can see, this tells you the source of some of the conflict you face in life. You desire to live a consecrated life, but there are conflicts in the realm of the spirit. Joshua the high priest did not choose filthiness by choice. He did not. Read it there. It's there. It was forced upon him by satanic forces in the unseen realm. That is why God gave us the weapon of prayer coupled with fasting, to put Satan where it belongs, to put the forces of darkness where they belong. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? To pull down the stronghold of the enemy that stand against our walk in righteousness. In these last days, we are to live a holy life. Holy living, consecrated life. But I tell you the truth, because Satan knows that when we begin to walk in this path, silver and gold is going to become abundant with us because we are pleasing God. So he wants to put filthiness upon our lives. He wants to make us, he wants to move us against God. This illustration that we just looked at reveals that most of the habits that destroy people are remotely controlled by the spiritual forces. Most of the habits that control people. Now, take for instance, how can someone vomit and eat the vomit again? That's remotely controlled until God delivered that young woman. That is why it is so hard when the victims try to come out of it. Once Satan gets a hold of them, they find it so hard to come out of it. They find themselves going deeper. It's like standing on quicksand. You are trying to come out, you are going deeper and deeper in sin. Against your witch. Not that you want to do it, but you just find yourself. You can't help yourself. You just find yourself just there like that. There has to be a heavenly means of destroying such satanic hold. And I love what the angel said. The angel of the Lord, before whom Joshua the high priest stood, he said in verse 4, he said, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." Did you see that? He took angelic intervention for Joshua the high priest to be free from sin. He took angelic intervention for Joshua to be free and to put a change of raiment on him. But you know the truth. In prayer and in fasting, we have access to the angels. The Bible says so in Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, please. The Bible says so. We have access to call for angelic assistance. Angelic assistance. It is very, very important. No matter how genuine your desire to please God is, no matter how sincere you are in your longing to live right, You must understand that it is not possible by might or by power. No matter your desire, no matter the sincerity of your heart, it is not possible to live right, to live holy, by power or by might. You need divine help. Please, can you say to your neighbor, you need divine help?
You need divine help.
Can I hear somebody say, I need divine help?
I need divine help.
That is why people who lean on personal effort to live right live a frustrated life. People who lean on their personal effort or on their determination to live a holy life, they live a frustrated life. And you know, in fasting and in prayer, we secure divine help. You know, you see, you're not just fasting like I was saying to my son this afternoon. We're not just fasting because we want you to be deprived of food. We want you to go through some pains. No! In fasting, you are calling for divine help. Lord, help me. You are standing in the gap for others. You are standing in the gap for the church. You are standing in the gap for your family. You are standing in the gap for the nation. You are calling for divine help. And of course, if there are personal issues like this that needs to be dealt with, you stand in the gap and say, Lord, enough is enough. I need your help, oh God. Send me help right now. You know, the Bible says when Jesus was fasting and praying, as he was fasting in the wilderness, the Bible says angels came to strengthen him. Do you think the angels don't strengthen you when you are fasting because you didn't see them with your physical eyes? The word of God hasn't changed. If they strengthen Jesus in fasting, in prayer, they will also strengthen you. I tell you the truth, by faith, you must have that mindset. You must have that spirit. You must have that in your faith. You must have that expectation that as you go into fasting, there is a strengthening that comes from the inside in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, let me tell you something about Peter. To live a life without spot or wrinkle has to be by divine help. Somebody say divine help.
Divine help.
And you provoke this divine help through prayer and fasting. Remember, Jesus said, Do you think I can pray now and the Father will give me 12 legion of angels? That means in prayer, we provoke divine help. We call for divine help. We send signal to headquarters that we need help. That's why fasting and prayer is so necessary in these last days to accomplish the agenda of God. Very, very important. And thank God, we have made up our mind that once every week we must fast in this church. Every Wednesday we fast. Every Wednesday. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, look at what happened to Peter before he denied Jesus. Jesus said to him, Simon, Peter, you will deny me 3 times tonight. Peter said, even unto death, I will stand by you. And you know the truth, Peter meant it. Peter was serious. Peter was determined. And Jesus knew Peter was serious. Peter wasn't joking when he said that.
Yes.
Peter meant everything he said. He really meant it when he said that. But you know, I can imagine Jesus looking at Peter and said, Peter, boy, you don't know the things you are fighting against.
Yes.
You don't know the things that are fighting against you. Of course, in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus told Peter this. He said, Satan desire to have you that has nothing to do with, I'm paraphrasing now, that whether you are determined or not, there is a satanic force organizing your destruction, Peter. Satan has concluded the plan to devastate your destiny. If not for God's sake, why will you, as a grown-up man, a grown-up boy, a grown-up girl, a person with sound mental attitude, see yourself doing things that you cannot do in public? It's not that you like it. You don't like it. There are satanic forces behind it. But thank God, Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Peter. I have prayed for you. Jesus recognized Satan as being behind Peter's fall. Jesus recognized it. And you see Peter. Peter is a very, very active man. Peter is a very, very, he's a very, very spontaneous guy. I mean, very bold, very strong. But you see, this thing has nothing to do with physical strength. When it comes to living a holy life, it has nothing to do with physical strength. Please, people of God. And let me say to you that Jesus is coming for a pure church. Jesus is coming for a church that is pure in and out. A holy church. That's what the Bible says. A church without wrinkle. A church without spot. That's what Jesus Christ is coming to rapture. And I tell you the truth. With every passing day, we are getting closer to the rapture. With every passing day, with what is happening here and there, we are getting closer, closer, closer. And listen to me, it won't get easier. Worse things will come up.
True.
That's what the scripture says in the book of Matthew. Go and read it. Things will come up. Now, let's look at the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, talking about a spotless church, talking about a glorious church. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. I will read from verse 26 to 27. And as I'm speaking to you right now, everything that looked like darkness in your life, they are falling away in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Everything that constitutes darkness in your life, whether forced on you or by choice, they are being taken off right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The angel of this commission is right now executing these words as I'm speaking it, cutting them off in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Look at what it says. It says in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. The higher talks about the church. It talks about you and I. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. By the word. I love the word so much. And you have to love the word so much. Jesus said, you are cleansed by the word that I've spoken unto you. That's why it's so important that you feed on the word. It cleans your system. It cleans you. Now look at verse 27. That he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's the church Jesus is coming for. And that is what you and I need to have our eyes on. Living a life that is pleasing to the Father. A life that is pleasing to God. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall it profit him? Listen to me, people of God. When you make a practice of sinning, you really need to ask yourself if truly you know him. Take note of what I said. When you make a practice of sinning, you really need to ask yourself if you know him. Instead of making a practice of sin, run to God and secure his help. Run to God. You know, the enemy will tell you there's nothing you can do. Oh, this is how you were born. You were created like this. That is the lie from the devil. God created you in his own image. Perfect. perfect. Like what I'm just saying now is what happens. There's a satanic force that is pulling you into that situation. And you need to rise up with the word of God. You need to say, God, I need your help. God, I need your help. Amen.
Amen.
Please, it is very, very important. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says in verse 29, he said, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Did you see that? So if you are born of him, you practice righteousness. It's not just to say that, oh, I'm the righteousness of God. You practice it. You do it. You practice righteousness. Now, we spent 21 days fasting and praying in this January. If answers are going to come, there are certain things that must be in place so that you don't nullify all those 21 days that you took to pray. It is so important that we practice righteousness. Now, I thank God for the teaching of grace going on everywhere. I've listened to some fantastic preachers of grace, preaching true grace. True grace does not say you should continue sinning. No, that's not true grace. The Bible says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's not true grace. The grace preachers have listened to, they have preached righteousness. They have preached this grace that, you see, when you handle grace, it takes you out of sin. So please, don't let anybody deceive you that, oh, you know, Christianity is all of grace. It's all of, everything is of grace. Jesus Christ has paid for it. It doesn't matter. Do anything you want to do. Jesus Christ has paid for it. It is a lie from the devil. It is a lie from the devil. The Bible says, guard your salvation with jealousy. Guard it. Guard yourself. Don't let anybody deceive you. Now look at this verse that has blessed me so much. 1 John chapter 3 verse 7. 1 John chapter 3 verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. And I tell you the truth, there are lots of deceivers going on on right now, telling you that, oh, it's all of grace. It doesn't matter. You can sin and still go to heaven as long as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. No, don't let them deceive you. In these last days, God is looking for his people. He has programmed it in his agenda that they will live in holiness. He said, I will sprinkle water upon them. They will walk before me in holiness. That's what God says. Look at the scripture. He said, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. He who practices righteousness. I love the King James Version. I'm reading from the New King James Version. The King James Version says, he who doeth righteousness. You see, righteousness is a thing to do, not just to confess. It's a thing to do. And I love this one here. This one says, he that practices righteousness. It's like a lawyer. He's a practitioner. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. So please, stay off iniquity. Don't let the teaching of grace confuse you. Grace that does not take me out of sin is not grace. That's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, that's the grace of God, is eternal life. He took me out of my sin. He took you out of your sin. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at your neighbor and say, stay off iniquity.
Stay off iniquity.
Please say it one more time.
Stay off iniquity.
Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. We will read up to verse 11. We are about rounding up. I think we'll round up very early today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 9. He said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Hear that word again. Oh. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Did you see that? All these things that I just mentioned, well, that the Bible mentioned, it's not me. The Bible says so. All these things that the Bible says, he says, such people that do these things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Look at that. Past tense. Such were. Where means past tense. I used to be a drunkard. I was there. But I'm no longer there. So I can't say because of grace now, I will continue in it. No, it has to, sin has to be past tense in your life for you to go to heaven. For you to walk with the Lord. For you to enjoy his agenda in these last days. And I tell you the truth, as I said before, let me say it again. There are satanic forces from the spirit of darkness that is going against your holiness, that you may not be a part, that you may not be part of the last days agenda for God. But you need to rise up in spirit and in truth, in simplicity of your faith, in simpleness of the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, the Bible says, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. So you go to him and say, God, there's need. God, I need your help. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Praise the Lord.
He says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Did you see that? We were justified. We were taken out of all those things. It is very, very important that you engage the spirit of fasting and prayer to declutter your spirit, so to say. Take possession of your spirit once again, because it is necessary for you to begin to reap the harvest of what we have been praying. You know, our very good prophet, priest, king, David, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not. Now, if God does not hear you, how do you expect to receive answers to all your prayers? That's why every form of bitterness must leave your heart. Every form of bitterness must be taken away. If I just drop it at the altar of God. Look at Hannah. The Bible says she came and she told, he said, out of the bitterness of my soul have I cried out unto God. She poured out all the bitterness away and never looked back anymore. And we saw what happened. The Bible says she went out of that place. Her countenance was no longer sad, to show that she believed God had her prayer. You remember, she couldn't eat before because the husband was begging her to eat. But she went and ate, and her countenance was no longer sad. She was excited. Why? She knew all the bitterness that was inside of her were gone. Everything, all the things of the evil one, gone. And the Bible says God visited her. God will visit you.
Amen.
God will visit you.
Amen.
Let every unforgiveness go. I said it last, I can't remember now, some 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. You see, your heart is too small to put anybody in there, in prison. Please, forgive them. Let them go. I used to say this. Forgive on credit. Forgive them on credit. He said, oh, the person has not asked for forgiveness. Forgive the person on credit. Whenever you see, it is for your good. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please, let unforgiveness go. Let every covetousness, every form of covetousness, let it go. Don't get into the spirit of covetousness. What God has for you is far greater than what your mind can comprehend. You don't need to covet anything from anybody. You don't need to. It is a wicked spirit that will tie you down. Because you see, sometimes when we talk of iniquity, a lot of people just think of lying, of murder, of fornication and all those stuff. But I tell you the truth, covetousness is a sin. Let it go. Let malice go. Let anger go. Look, you were not created with that spirit of anger. No, don't tell me, oh, in my family, this is how we are. Oh, look, yes, that is what you have experienced, but that's not who you are. That's not who you are. I'm first of all a child of God before I became a pastor. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. A pastor is what I do. Please, people of God, every form of anger, whatever we just get you angry, you must let it go. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And let me quickly say this. Every offense towards God must go. You know how you have offense towards God? Oh God, I've been praying. You are not answering my prayer. What kind of God are you? Are you righteous? All those kind of questions. Even you see, some people don't say those questions, but they are boiling in their heart. You remember what I said? God sees your heart. I've been giving my tithes. I've been giving my offering consistently. Oh God, why am I still like this? You know what you are saying to God? You are saying to God that you are righteous, you are faithful, but God is not faithful. You have done your part, God has not done his part. That's what you're saying. Please, have no offense towards God. Please. And have no offense towards any man. If any man has offended you, let the man go. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Now, just quickly, let me say this because this is very, very important. I forgot I was going to say it, but let me say it. After you have prayed, after we have prayed, you must watch what you say. From now on, watch what you say. If not, all the 21 days of prayer and fasting will be nothing. So to have your prayers answered, you need to begin to make bold declaration with authority. Bold declaration with authority. Not the one you pray after you finish praying and somebody asking you, how are you? You say, well, things are still the same. So. Immediately you said that you are killing the prayers that you have prayed. Because the Bible says you shall have whatsoever you say. You shall have whatsoever you say. Mark chapter 11 verse 23. He said, you shall have whatsoever you say. You shall have whatsoever you say. Be careful what you say. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
In the book of Psalm 18 verse 44, he said, as soon as they hear me, they will obey me. They will obey me. The foreigners will submit to me. So it is very, very important. What you say is very, very important. Ecclesiastes. I close with Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. He said, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Did you see that? Do not let your mouth, you have prayed to God, you have said A to God, and then situations happen, you begin to say something else. He said, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. You know, some people, they just talk the way they want to talk. They say, well, God knows, God understands. Well, the Bible says, he shall have whatsoever he says. He didn't say God understands what he says. He didn't say that. He said he shall have whatsoever he says. And remember, God doesn't change. His word is the same. He said, but God understands. God understands his word. He said, why should God be angry at your voice? The King James Version, the New King James Version say excuse. Why should he be angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands? Did you see that? All the prayers you have prayed these 21 days, please do not use your mouth to negate them. No. Rather, speak only in line with the word of God for your life. Be disciplined in your thoughts. Be disciplined in the words that come out of your mouth. Be disciplined in the actions you take. Do not betray your faith. Do not betray your faith. Somebody call you and ask you how you are doing. Oh, wonderful. God is on my side. And mean it from the depth of your heart. Mean it from the depth of your heart. It is so important. How are you? Oh, I'm doing very, very fine. God is helping me. You got a letter that you have been, your work has been terminated. Oh, you just begin to rejoice. When one door closed, 7 other doors open. You say it with your mouth. You say it with your mouth. Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job will say again, all the days of my life, I will wait for my appointed time. Your appointed time is coming.
Amen.
Your appointed time is coming.
Amen.
In fact, it has come in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
These 7 weeks that we are about entering, these 7 weeks, I tell you the truth, expect great things to happen in your life.
Amen.
Expect great things to happen in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Let's rise up to our feet and we prepare to take the communion in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Doc, sorry, I didn't inform you. We are taking communion every Wednesday. Amen. Just prepare anything in the house. You know, when Jesus Christ took the communion, it was not a special event. They were eating. They were just eating. So he took bread and took wine. That was it. You know, it is so important that we know that. It's so important that we know that. If you have biscuit there in the house and a drink, that is all just prepared there for the communion in the name of Jesus. Please, I want you to open to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 30 to 31. You know, Jesus Christ was speaking to them, and this is what Jesus Christ said. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to... You see, this is another place again. They were just eating. There was nothing like, say, we want to take communion. They were just eating. From the food, you know, the Eastern people, they always have bread. You know, when you go to the Eastern people, if you go to Eastern restaurant, they always serve you with bread. There's always bread there, you know, and they drink, of course. You understand that? So he took the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Are you seeing that? Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. As you are taking this communion today, your eyes shall be open in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your eyes shall be open in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And everything that is not of God shall be taken away from your life.
Amen.
Every opposition of the enemy shall be destroyed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Like the angel of God said, the angel said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke every satanic hold against your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, thank you for this communion.
Thank you, Lord.
By faith, this is the bread, this is the flesh and the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
We partake in it in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.